presented by Facebook.
Good morning, Playbookers. It's Wednesday, July 28th. I'm Raghu Munavallan, and this is your Politico Playbook Daily Briefing. All right, we've got big problems for two Trump-endorsed candidates in the special election runoff in Texas's 6th district. Jake Elzey defeated Trump-endorsed candidate Susan Wright. But here's a caveat from Dave Wasserman. Before drawing sweeping conclusions about the outcome, a reminder, turnout in this runoff was fairly pathetic. With all early votes and most election day votes reported, there are only 37,000 votes counted. Less than 8% of registered voters in the district. But still, it is a pretty big slap in the face to Trump in a district where his super PAC spent over $100,000 last weekend. That's according to the Dallas Morning News. Here's one outcome that was certain, regardless of which Republican won. Speaker Nancy Pelosi will have only 3 votes to spare on any bill once Elzey is sworn in. Meanwhile, in Ohio, our own Michael Cruz has a long look at the life and career of Max Miller. He's a former White House aide, and he's the Trump-endorsed candidate in the GOP primary for the House seat in Ohio's 16th district. It's worth noting the Trump brand still looms large within the GOP. Here's a stat by way of the New York Times. Since May 1st, the Republicans' Senate campaign arm has invoked Mr. Biden's name in the sender line on its emails just 4 times. Mr. Trump's name has appeared there 185 times. Check out those 2 stories in today's playbook. This was the week we stepped back into time when it comes to masks and ditched carrots for sticks when it comes to vaccinations. Yesterday, the CDC announced that people should wear masks indoors in areas where there is high and substantial COVID spread. Well, Washington, D.C. passed into substantial territory yesterday, moving above 50 cases per 100,000 people over a 7-day average. As a result, at 5 p.m., the White House announced that staffers were once again required to wear masks inside the building, and the White House Correspondents Association quickly revised its guidelines for reporters who will once again mask up in the briefing room. Late Tuesday night, the attending physician of the U.S. Congress wrote to members that, quote, for meetings in an enclosed U.S. House of Representatives-controlled space, masks are required. Kevin McCarthy had this response, make no mistake, the threat of bringing masks back is not a decision based on science, but a decision conjured up by liberal government officials who want to live in a perpetual pandemic state. The CDC also recommended universal mask wearing for all teachers, students, and staff in K-12 schools, shattering hopes of a return to normalcy for kids going back to school soon. Companies like GM and Ford have announced a return of mask mandates for their workers in COVID hotspots. Vaccine requirements are sweeping across the country. Among the entities that have announced them in recent days, the Department of Veterans Affairs, New York City workers, state employees and healthcare workers in California, the Mayo Clinic, Houston Methodist Hospital, CNN, and the Washington Post. Expect this to get politicized quickly, with announcements in the coming days from states, cities, companies, and political entities either embracing or condemning vaccine requirements. For instance, the AFL-CIO said it supports mandates, while an unnamed Fox News host was, let's call it, upset last night on his daily show. Joe Biden is expected to announce a federal mask requirement today that would apply to all federal workers and contractors. An important caveat, as with most of these mandates, the Biden rule is expected to have an opt-out for anyone who refuses to get the shot as long as they submit to regular COVID testing. The debate in the West Wing has pitted Biden's healthcare advisors, who see a vaccine requirement for federal workers as a no-brainer, against some political advisors who fear that a backlash against a government mandate could harden the resolve of vaccine skeptics to avoid the shots. All right, here's what's up in Washington today, starting with the White House. At 9:30 a.m. Eastern, President Joe Biden will receive the President's Daily Brief. At 10:55, the President will leave the White House to head to Pennsylvania. There he'll visit and speak at a manufacturing facility. At 3:20, the President will head back to the White House, arriving at 4:25. The Senate is in today. The House will meet at 11 a.m. FTC Chair Lina Khan and other commissioners will testify before an Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on consumer protection legislation at 10:30 a.m. Speaker Nancy Pelosi will hold her weekly press conference at 11:30 a.m. All right, that's all I've got for you today. For more news on what's breaking in D.C. right now, subscribe to the Playbook newsletter at politico.com/playbook. Our music is composed by Breakmaster Cylinder. I'm Rocco Monavolin. Have a great Wednesday. I'll see you first thing tomorrow morning.
2021 is the 25th anniversary of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, the last comprehensive update to internet regulation. The internet has experienced more than a few updates since 1996, but internet regulations have not. That's why Facebook supports updated regulations on key issues like preventing election interference, protecting people's privacy, reforming Section 230, and more. See Facebook's progress on key issues and what's next at about.fb.com/regulations.